on a tool that we've developed that measures the competitive food and beverage environment. Great, so the name of this tool is FoodBeams, and that stands for the Food and Beverage Environmental Assessment and Monitoring System. I have no relationships to disclose. My presentation, I'm going to talk a little bit about the background, why we even need to do environmental assessments, what's going on here, a little introduction to what environmental assessments are. And I'm going to talk specifically about FoodBeams, and also share with you some findings from a recent study that we've conducted using the FoodBeams system. So what's the need? Well, as we all know, throughout the nation, states and districts have been passing school-based competitive food nutrition policies. The first policies appeared in states like California, Connecticut, and we're continuing to see more and more implemented each year. Also with the local wellness policies, we're seeing local districts implement nutrition standards for their schools. And so while school districts are implementing these standards, the lack of available nutrition information makes monitoring adherence sometimes challenging. In California, we have two competitive food standards, SB 12, which is for foods, SB 965, which is for beverages. And SB 965 is based on beverage categories, which makes it very easy, actually, to assess adherence. Water adheres, sports drinks adhere. Drinks like sodas and sweetened coffees and teas do not adhere. So it's very easy to make decisions about what to provide in the schools or not. SB 12, however, for foods is nutrient-based. So there are specific limits on calories, saturated fat, sugar, and so forth. And it's something that not only do you have to do a calculation for in order to determine, but also in many cases it's not intuitive. In the studies that we've conducted, we found that seemingly healthy items like seeds and nuts and so forth sometimes do not adhere to the standards because they're too high in saturated fat, whereas other products that aren't intuitively healthy, they aren't healthy for you. Items like Pop-Tarts, corn nuts, and so forth, actually, because of formulations that the manufacturers have made, adhere to the standards. So it's very confusing for school districts and for school personnel, to figure out what they should sell. And that's why Samuels & Associates, for the last few years, has been developing very easy-to-use environmental assessments that can, help folks determine adherence. We've developed, a few years ago, we actually developed a paper environmental assessment tool. The paper form actually became FoodBeams, which I'll talk about in a minute, which is an electronic tool. But when we do a nutrition environmental assessment, what we look at is the accessibility of competitive foods and beverages on a campus, the location of the competitive food and beverage sales, which are offered in a variety of venues, the types and foods and beverages being sold. We also have developed an extensive competitive food and beverage nutrient database. This supports our work. We have almost 3,500 food products in the database and about 1,300 beverages. We have the complete nutrient profiles for all these beverages and food items. And we have both brand-named items and generic items. We get the sources for this nutrient information from a variety of places. For the brand-named items, we will call up the food and beverage manufacturers, or we'll do a web search. We've also, through all of our site visits, we've visited, somewhere between 50 and 100 schools over the course of the last few years. So we've collected nutrition facts panels, nutrition fact labels off of food packages. We also, if a school district has a particular product that's unique to their school, we collect the nutrient information directly from the food service personnel. And then finally, for all of our generic items, the cheeseburgers, the burritos, and so forth, we use the USDA nutrient databanks for that information. So, we developed FoodBeams, which is an electronic, web-based environmental assessment tool with funding from the NIH Small Business Innovation and Research Grant. And the purpose of this grant was to develop an electronica system for measuring nutritional quality of competitive foods and beverages sold in schools. We also, through the study, were able to test the feasibility of both researchers and non-researchers using the system, as well as testing the inter rater reliability of the electronic system in 10 schools. I'll explain what that means in a minute. And finally, we were able to update and expand the food and beverage nutrient database to include additional nutrient components like sodium, fiber, and trans fat. I'm going to give you a little demo of our system. So this is our website, and the system... That's me. access FoodBeams by clicking right here, and there's a login page, so everybody's kept anonymous. And once you're into the system, you can see that we're here in High School A. Individuals will add all the venues present in their school. So we see here in this school, we have a beverage machine, we have a food vending machine, we also have a taco truck present on the campus, and a food service snack bar. And once all the venues are added, then to go into the venue, like the food vending machine, once you're in the venue, then you start typing in the items that you're observing, starting with brand name. So say I'm looking at a Twix chocolate bar, I type in Twix, and the our food and beverage nutrient databases are sitting behind this interface. So once you start searching for an item, flavor, category, and subcategory, and so forth, autocomplete, and you just make your selections, the item appears, and then it's also you enter in the total size of the item, the number of slots devoted to that item in the in the vending machine, and finally the selling price. You submit the item, and then you can see within your venue a list of all the items being sold appears, begins to generate. Once you've collected all the foods and beverages on your school campus, then you can hit this little Run Report button up here. And FoodBeams currently analyzes the foods and beverages against California's SB 12 and 965. So we're playing around with this. We need to improve the graphics quite a bit, actually. But this gets the point across. So we can see within the school store, 91% of the items adhered. 9% did not. I'm sorry, of the foods adhered. We can also break it down by beverages. So 100% of the beverages adhered, 0 did not. And then also within vending machines, we can look at it a little differently. We can say, okay, of all the cake and pastry products in the food vending machines, this number adhered, this did not, and so forth. And if you want to see specifically what those items are, you just click on the little link here. And then we can see that, oh, the items that didn't adhere in the school store were a chocolate chip cookie and the, you know, brown sugar cinnamon frosted Pop-Tarts. They had too much sugar and they were too high in calories. And those are kilocalories. We haven't done the conversion. So we find also as a result of the phase one study, not only were we able to fully develop this system, but we also showed that there is high inter-rater reliability between both researchers and non-researchers. So that means that no matter who uses it, you get the same results, which is really good. We also show that we have high validity, that FoodBeams has high validity when compared to the paper and pencil environmental assessment tool, which has been used sort of as a gold standard for the last, you know, few years. FoodBeams has been used in a variety of studies since it's been developed. We've used it in the California Endowment's Healthy Eating and Active Communities program, which is a statewide study in California. We also used it to evaluate SB 12 and SB 965 through a Robert Wood Johnson funded study. And also some of our colleagues up in Washington have used FoodBeams to do a study of competitive foods and beverages being sold in middle schools. So I'm going to share with you just a little snippet of the findings from our baseline SB 12 and SB 965 study. This project was from 2006 to 2009. We just went back and did the endpoint assessment, and it's a pre-post study. So before SB 12 and 965 was implemented, what did the food and beverage nutrition environment look like? Afterwards, you know, after the policies our past, what does the environment look like? There were 57 high schools enrolled in the study. And here are the competitive food standards. You can see there's limits on fat, saturated fat, calories, sugar, and so forth. So what we found is that half of the schools in the study sold competitive foods in vending machines and also in school stores. 80% of the schools in the study sold competitive foods in food service, and 4% in other venues. This is like the taco truck, the mocha carts, and so forth. We can also see the most common foods for sale by venue type. So this is vending machines, this is food service, and this is school store. Is my pointer? Oh, good. My pointer appears. What this shows is that the most common items that we continue to find are chips and candy and so forth, very high in school store and vending machine, and also quite high in food service, chips here, and then also cakes and pastries over here. And these are competitive food items. This is what we always find. And then when we looked at adherence at baseline, we found that only about 36% of the foods sold adhered. And when we broke it down by vending, 36% of the foods sold in vending machines adhered, school stores were at 30%, and the highest adherence was food service at 41%, which is not surprising. And then also our other venues. I love this slide. Here's just a little, little example of the foods that do not adhere. And what we've, what this really actually demonstrates is that what we found is most useful about the food beam system is that it can generate a very specific list of the foods that are in and the beverages that are in and those that are not. And that's actually what's by far the most useful for school districts. Because they can go back to their vendors and they can go back, to the folks that are making the purchasing decisions, and they can help guide that. And that's really exciting. We have just recently submitted a proposal for phase two SBIR funding. This will bring food beams to scale. It will allow users to use food beams offline to collect data in the field using Palm Pilots, Blackberries, etc. Currently, it's a web-based system. It will also enable users to adapt the adherence analysis to nutrition standards other than California's. This is absolutely key, and we're very excited about this. It will also increase the size and management of the food and beverage nutrient database. Although we contain about 5,000 items in our nutrient database, that absolutely does not cover the variety that's available out there. So we're looking at ways to integrate like a UPC database into the system so we have a relatively comprehensive list. And then finally, we are looking forward to testing the effectiveness of food beams in increasing adherence to competitive food standards when implemented as an intervention in K-12 schools. In conclusion, what we've found and what we're hoping to continue to develop within food beams is its ability to enable a variety of stakeholders, food service directors, nutritionists, researchers, school personnel, and advocates to assess adherence to state and local nutrition policies and to identify which foods and beverages must be changed to improve the school nutrition environment. I would like to acknowledge my colleagues, Sarah Samuels, Lisa Crapo, and Sally Lawrence, and also our technology developers, Sam McAfee and Chris Kuhar at Radical Fusion. If you are interested in using food beams in your school district, in your local area, or in your state, definitely come talk to me or my colleagues afterwards, and we'd be more than happy to talk with you about that. Thank you.